With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is the Red Sox Precap with your hosts, Keaton DeRocher and Shelley Verstrait, part of the Over the Monster Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap, the podcast from the Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended, preview the series that's about to start. I am your host, Keaton DeRocher. With me, as always, Shelley Verstrait of OTM. Shelley, I believe we were just talking off air. I wasn't feeling great about, the Red Sox won the series, took 2 out of 3, but I wasn't feeling great until we just noticed that they still have the best record in all of baseball.
yeah. I was like, so when you said that, I'm like, wait, what? So I was pulling up my MLB app on my phone, and yeah, you're totally right. We still have the best record, which totally just blew my mind, because I'm not feeling that great about the team, but it's like,
right.
Yeah.
And we will dive into this 3-game series against Detroit and what a doozy of a series that was. But first, the presenting sponsor of this podcast is Fifth Element. Fifth Element is ultra high milligram CBD focused on relief and recovery after a workout. They're specially designed for people with an active lifestyle, from weekend warriors to professional athletes to bucket list gym enthusiasts. Fifth Element, also known as 5E, is full-spectrum high-milligram hemp to help you whenever, wherever you need it, whether it's at the gym or after work. Get yours today, feel better tomorrow, by visiting 5ehemp.com. Use the code MONSTER to get 50% off. Yes, you heard that right. 50%, a.k.a. half off. That's 5ehemp.com. Use the code MONSTER. Go to 5ehemp.com. Get 50% off. That's the number 5, the letter ehemp.com. All right. Diving into it. So this was not an easy series like we were hoping, but at least the Red Sox did win it. So that's fun. Game 1, Nick Pivetta, Michael Fulmer. Red Sox got the win 11-7. Pivetta picked up another 8 strikeouts, which was nice to see. Only 2 walks, but gave up 3 runs in his 5 innings. What was your reaction to Pivetta's start here?
My reaction was just like, yeah, I kind of expected this sort of. Like, I still don't necessarily believe in Pivetta and what he is doing. But, I expected him to, just mow down, some Detroit Tigers. Because I do believe that he's better than the Tigers lineup. So, yeah, I liked what I saw. I need to see him against, better competition before I really either believe in him or what. Like, he's still just kind of a question mark for me.
Yeah. Red Sox jumped out to a nice big lead here. Jumps out to a big lead. And then Austin Bryce didn't have a great day. Went a third of an inning and gave up 4 earned runs. That made it a lot closer. I believe that made it 9-7. Before the Red Sox tacked on 2 more to finish it. But it seemed like just the vibe of the game, it felt like it was the Tigers were going to claw themselves all the way back, which was a little scary. But Andrés followed with 2/3 of an inning to get out of the jam with 2 strikeouts. Ottavino, 2 strikeouts, 1 walk. Darwinson Hernandez, 1/3 of an inning, 2 walks. That was a bit of a struggle. And then Matt Barnes on for the save, a 5-out save, 1 strikeout, but he got it done for a 7 save of the year. What did you think of the bullpen's performance following that up? I guess let's talk about Bryce. Bryce and Taylor, not strong starts here, still struggling now. Both of them have ERAs close to 8. When do you think we're going to see some changes to the roster here? Maybe Edouard Bizardo, or maybe use one of their roster spots for a bench bat?
Yeah, I really do think that we're going to see a roster change here at some point. I mean, Taylor and Bryce have just really not been great. I would love to see Bizardo, because I really do think that he could be really electric out of the pen. But honestly, I do think that we need more of the bench bat more than the, you know, kind of like back-end bullpen piece. But I do think that there's going to be a change at some point, because Taylor and Bryce, like, they've just been, they've just not been great to start the season.
Agreed. And I agree with you on the bat, too. And I feel like I initially thought Santana seemed like the most obvious fit, because I believe he has an opt-out after some amount of time if he's not in the majors. But I don't know how that works if he's on a rehab assignment, because if he's rehabbing, I don't think he can force his way to the majors with an opt-out. So I don't know how that works. So maybe that doesn't make sense. But I guess we'll see in the coming days. I think I agree with you. I've seen enough of both these guys. Let's get Bizardo at least up here and something else. For the bats, Verdugo hit himself a home run. Bogarts, Renfroe, Kike Hernandez. Lots of extra base hits here. Sox had 11 in total. Verdugo had 2. Martinez had 2. Bogarts had 2. Vasquez had 3. Renfroe had 3. To go along with his home run, he had himself a nice little day. On to game two. Game two was Martin Perez versus Casey Mize. The Sox lost this one 6-5 in extra innings. This one was tough. It felt like more of the same of game one, except the Tigers were able to come all the way back. Perez struck out 6 in his 5 2/3 innings, which was nice to see. What did you think of Perez's start here?
I thought Perez kind of looked like, you know, the typical Perez. Just kind of okay. I know that the Tigers have really struggled against left-handed pitching, so I wasn't surprised to see that he, you know, struck out 6 in 5.2 innings, just because the Tigers, just from offensively, from a, you know, when they face left-handers, it's just been awful. So I expected this, but even I was expecting us to pull it out. What about you?
Yeah, the way it happened just kind of sucked, and I felt good about having Whitlock in there. And then obviously, I mean, he gave up a bit of a moonshot down there to the right field corner. But yeah, I felt the same way. I felt like even though they had struggled and it was a gross game to watch, it felt like they were going to end up toughing it out. And then that ended up not being the case. So that was just kind of a real bummer how that went down, especially since who followed Perez. Taylor went a third of an inning, got an out. That was fine. Sarmuro went an inning with a strikeout. Ottavino, 2 strikeouts in 1 inning. Barnes struck out the side. It was such a strong performance. And then they brought in Whitlock, and you felt like that was going to keep going. And then he walked a guy and gave up a bomb. So that was tough. But Red Sox hitters were a bit stifled against Mize, who is a bright young pitcher. He didn't have a great day, though. He only allowed 3 hits, which was nice in his 6 innings. But only walked 4 and only struck out 3. The Red Sox just weren't able to take advantage of it. In total, they stranded 26 batters, which hurts even more when all you needed was 1. Bogarts, only one that had multiple hits. Bogarts is just very good, leading the major leagues in hits.
Bogey is just basically MVP king. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, fair. Game three today. My God, this game. This was one of the weirder games the Red Sox have played in quite some time. Nathan Eovaldi, Spencer Turnbull. It was quite a roller coaster. Eovaldi looked really, really good to start and then really, really bad finish. Five strikeouts, one walk, six earned runs. That was pretty darn tough. What was your reaction to Eovaldi's start here?
It literally was a roller coaster. Like, I was watching this while I was at work. I was in the office. I had my iPad to the side. And, like, the first couple innings, I'm like, oh, yeah, we got, you know, stud Eovaldi. And, like, his last, you know, 1.5, 2 innings was just absolutely horrible. Like, he was still battling. He still had the velocity and everything. It's just like his pitches, he just wasn't fooling anyone. And it was just hit after hit, dink, dunk, like all of these hits. And yeah, it was just, honestly, I don't know. I need to dig like a little bit, you know, dig in a little bit more, but I don't know why he was like really getting hit around so much. Maybe it's like some BABIP unluckiness, but yeah, it was just like, it was so weird because he still had the velocity and the movement and stuff like that. But yeah, he was just, it was so unlucky.
Yeah, I mean, it was encouraging to see him. I mean, he was continually, like you said, pumping 98 through the length of this outing. It was just difficult to watch with him just getting kind of nitpicked to death and then ended up with 6 runs. Not great. I was a little surprised they sent him out the further the fifth. After the fourth, though, it was really rough and he really labored to get through the end of it. And at that point, it was a 4-4 game. I was really surprised that he went back out there for the fifth, and not great results.
Yeah.
Then, there were 6 total errors in this game. 4 for Detroit, 2 for Boston. Oddly enough, the Red Sox had more unearned runs than they had earned runs in this game. They had 5 earned, 7 unearned for their total. Good days from Franchy Cordero. How good was it to see him get 3 hits and an RBI today?
It was so great. Like, this game was just, like, so weird. You know, like, Franchy was on the bench to start the game. He comes in for Enrique Hernandez, who left in the first after, like, a hamstring strain. But, yeah, I wasn't expecting much from him, especially at the top of the lineup. But then he goes, like, 3 for 5, and I'm like, okay, I'd like to see that. And, no, just, I haven't really been, like, the biggest Franchy fan, but just kind of, like, see him just kind of go off with this game, I loved it. I love to see it.
Yeah, he was definitely due. Weird situation there. So I guess this was foreshadowing here for the entire game. But Kiki Hernandez led off with a double and pulled his hammy, advanced to third, and then in the middle of a count came out of the game and was replaced by Cordero, who then scored a run on the very next pitch after Hernandez got pulled. And then the game just got weirder. Multi-hit games from Cordero, Verdugo, J.D. Martinez, Bogarts, Devers, and Plawecki. Lots of hits, lots of runs. Darwinson, Hernandez pitched an inning, 1 strikeout, gave up a run, charged with a blown save. Andrés came in, gave up a run in 1 inning. And Ottavino for the save, his first save of the season. A nice, cool inning there, 1 walk. He's had a couple nice outings in a row here. Let's see if we can keep that moving. On the whole, though, the Red Sox took 2 out of 3, but it was not very easy. The prior 16 prior games to the series for Detroit, they had scored 20 runs, and in just these 3 games, they scored 21. That's tough. 21 or 22. Anyway, in these 3 games, they outscored their previous 6, which was not great. Is this just a weird stretch of games here over the past week, these last 7 games, or are you seeing some trends here that you're maybe thinking twice about?
I really hope that it is just kind of like a trend where, sometimes relievers just kind of get hit around a bit. But knowing that we went, you know, back to back with the Rangers and then now the Tigers, and seeing that our bullpen and kind of our starting pitching has been kind of hit around a bit, I'm a little bit concerned. I need to maybe see a little bit more to see, like, if I really need to be concerned. But it's like, yeah, this wasn't great. Like, these were basically like two cupcake matches, you know, matchups, right? And we totally, like, you know, poo-pooed the bed here. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I think I mentioned if they continue to struggle, I might start reaching for the panic button. I'm kind of feeling that way. I mean, they did win the series, but it was not easy, and it was really ugly, and it took 4 errors and 7 earned runs to do it. It's not ideal. You're not, that's not going to be an everyday occurrence. So them being 3-4 against, you know, with back-to-back series against last-place teams and another one here with the Orioles, I think I need, like, I mean, it's a 4-game series, but a sweep would make me feel a lot better about this team. But we will 100%. Get into that. Yeah, we will get into that right now after a quick break. Alrighty, last place Orioles coming to town to complete this last place circuit for the Red Sox. 4-game series. And remarkably enough, if the Orioles sweep the Red Sox, they would go from last place in the division to a better record than the Red Sox. They're only 3.5 back in the cellar. I was going to say to the best record in the majors, because the Red Sox currently have the best record in the majors, but can't assume everybody else is going to lose too. So the fact that they're within striking distance in this series of the Red Sox is what has me concerned.
How dare you put that bad juju on this team? Shame on you.
I know. I think I might have ruined it. we'll see if I'm doing this podcast in 4 days. Pitching matchups in this series, the Red Sox, luckily for them, avoid Mr. Means, who just threw a no-hitter against Seattle. We've got Eduardo Rodriguez versus Matt Harvey, Richards versus Akin, Pivetta versus Kramer, and Martin Perez versus Lopez. I mean, I feel like we've been feeling the same way about pitching matchups there, but I mean, at least it feels good to have our two best right now going in this series if we're looking for wins. What's your overall take of these pitching matchups for the series?
I feel totally fine. I outside of Means, I'm not scared of Baltimore's pitching whatsoever, and knowing that we have Rodriguez, Richards, Pivetta, Perez, like that's a really good core, and I really do think that they can definitely tackle Baltimore's lineup. Yeah, sure, we're going to lose at least one. I don't think that we're going to go, you know, 4-for-4, but I feel totally confident with all of these pitchers against Baltimore.
And we have already had a bunch of games against Baltimore, so we've talked about their lineup a lot. But Cedric Mullins is still doing really darn good. Second on the team in home runs, has a .320 average, .378 OBP. Trey Mancini is leading the team in home runs with 6. He's a very good baseball player. Outside of those two guys, though, is there anybody that you're a little bit worried about in this lineup?
Not really. I still believe in, like, Ryan Mountcastle and DJ Stewart, but they have really, really, really been struggling at the plate. I could totally see them coming back around, to maybe hurt us, but no, I'm not scared, honestly, of really anyone, in Baltimore outside those other two.
Same. So hopefully we're in for something nice. I forgot again, but who is your MVP for the series against Detroit?
I guess my MVP, can I just say Bogey? Like, I'm just going to just say just Bogey. Like, he was just, like, really good.
Yeah, I agree. It was either going to be Bogey or JD, maybe both. Those two, I mean, they had a really good series, produced a lot in a series that there was a lot of runs scored.
Yeah. Yeah, JD is just, like, blowing my mind to how good he is and just how he has just put like 2020 behind him, and he's like 2019 version. Love it.
He's like first in everything except hits, which is Bogarts. So it's a fun lineup we have here. Who is your prediction for MVP in this Orioles series?
I'm going to go like off the rails here. And I think that you will like this. I think it's going to be Garrett Richards. I think he's going to just...
like, that's who I was going to pick.
Yeah, great. Like Richards has looked really good his last two starts. And I'm like, yeah, he's going against the Orioles. This, I think, is going to just be a really good start for him.
Agreed. Third start so far for him against the Orioles. And the second one was better than the first, and I think the third one's going to be better than the second. So Richards is my pick as well. That will do it for this episode. You can find me and Shelly both at Over the Monster, where we write roundtables and stuff. You can find me on Twitter at Spoken Keats. You can find Shelly at ShellyV_643. And we will be with you on Tuesday morning to preview a 3-game series against the Athletics. Thanks for listening.